Today is July the 21st, 2013. Join us for the morning service of Weatherby House Church. Richard Bennett, a former Catholic priest, recommended in one of his sermons a book by John Lovell entitled The Mystery of Providence. We've been working through that book. I would highly recommend that you read that book. It's a little paperback, 200-page book. You can order it on the internet. It's through the banner of Truth Trust. There are several copies, used copies available. You can get it shipped and everything for around $7, so it's a very good investment. And the question is asked, do we believe that everything in the world and our own lives, down to the minutest detail, is ordered by the providence of God? Do we ever take time to observe and meditate on the workings of providence? It should be a delight and pleasure to us to discern how God works all things in the world for His own glory and His people's good. And it should be an even greater pleasure to observe the particular designs of providence in our own lives. So, this is really what this book is about. Do we have a selection? Psalm 37F. Page 70.
Away, 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 and murmur. 52, Child of Hope.
To us a child of hope is born, to us a son is given. Him shall the tribes of earth obey, him all the hosts of heaven. His name shall be the Prince of Peace, forevermore adored. The Wonderful, the Counselor, the Great and Mighty Lord. The Wonderful, the Counselor, the Great and Mighty Lord. His power increasing still shall spread, his reign no end shall know. Justice shall guard his throne above, and peace abound below. Justice shall guard his throne above, and peace abound below. Page 46.
It's to thank the Lord,
to praise your name, Most High, to show your love and on your faithfulness, O Lord. The hymn-string lark, with sweet voice, let and rippling harp your praise inspire. Your grief, Lord, made me glad of joy in what you've done. How great your doings, Lord, how deep your thoughts each one. Who's won't be shown, the stupid can't accept this truth to him unknown. Though sinners grow like weeds, some doers blossom they. They're doomed to be destroyed through warnings all this day. For your foes fall, see how your foes vain evil men are scattered all. You rave like us, my horn, pour fresh on my head. You make me see the spies and hear what plotters said. Like thriving palm, the righteous grows like cedars tall in Lebanon. As planted by the Lord, shall in God's courts be seen. When all this building ever fruit and flourish green, and loud proclaim, our upright is the Lord, my rock, no wrong in him. Heal me by thy mighty power, for I pray from day to day. I am weak and pain devours all my strength along the way. Hold me by thy mighty arm when the way is dark and drear. Always keep me safe from harm, make me know that thou art near. Save me from the tempter's power, help me all my burdens bear. Keep me in thy love each hour, save from evil everywhere. Make me thankful for thy grace, keep me humble in thy sight. Guide me by the Holy Spirit, lead me safely by thy might.
Fill me with thy righteousness when my sorrows and cares molest. Help me, Lord, to do my best. Give my soul its long for rest. Show me, Lord, thy smiling face when my life on earth is o'er. All the pains and tears erase. By thy presence bless me, Lord.
255, mixes of joy and sorrow, I daily confess to thee.
Mixtures of joy and sorrow I daily do pass through. Sometimes I'm in the valley and sinking down with woe. Sometimes I am exalted, on eagle's wings I fly. I rise above my troubles and hope to reach the sky. Sometimes I'm full of doubting and think I have no grace. Sometimes I'm full of praising when Christ reveals His face. Sometimes my hope's so little I think I'll throw it by. Sometimes it seems sufficient if I were called to die. Sometimes I shun the Christian lest he should talk to me. Sometimes he is the neighbor I long the most to see. Sometimes we meet together, the season's dry and dull. Sometimes we find a blessing, with joy it fills my soul. Sometimes I travel mourning down battle's ancient stream. Sometimes my Lord's religion appears my only theme. Sometimes when I am praying, it seems almost a task. Sometimes receive a blessing, the greatest I can ask.
Page 42 in the Psalter.
Yet evermore I am with thee. Thou holdest me by my right hand, and that even now my guide shall be. Thy counsel shall my way command, and afterward in glory bright shalt thou receive me to thy side. For whom have I in heaven but thee? None else on earth I long to know. My flesh may faint and weary me, my heart may faint and heavy grow. With strength of God my heart restore, He is my portion evermore. They perish that are far from me, though in their lewdness they shall die. But surely it is good for me that unto God I should draw nigh. I refuge take in God the Lord, that all thy works I may record.
Well, let's sing one last psalm before we go over to the other part of our service. Let's sing 188.
188. God has not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathway all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, peace without sorrow, joy without pain. But God has promised strength as our day, rest when we labor, light on the way, grace for our trials, help from above, unfading kindness, undying love. Though we have mingled sunshine and rain, clouds decked with rainbows, joys mixed with pain, Let us still trust His mercies right on, and sing His praises all the day long.
Dear Lord, we thank You for Your providential hand in our lives here over us. We pray that You would help us in this service, and we pray that Your word would come fresh to our hearts and to our minds. We pray, we ask this in Your name, for Your glory. Amen. In the second epistle of John, third verse of first chapter, says, "Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Father, in truth and love." He's speaking here of grace and mercy and the truth found in the love of Jesus Christ. Now, if you are a fairly new Christian, maybe listening to this message, you might find that the scriptures sort of jump out at you if you haven't read the Bible. That's what happened to me when I started studying the Bible for myself. The Bible became very, very real to me for the first time. If we rely on other people to explain the Bible to us, it does not have the same significance as if we are studying it for ourselves. And we find that it's the same in our prayer life. If we pray to God and have communion with Him rather than have someone else pray, it makes a difference in our lives, because we are fellowshipping and having communion with God on a first name basis. The 138th Psalm says, "Though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect unto the lowly." Jesus Christ came as a lowly servant. He came down from heaven. He emptied Himself of all the highest power in that, the joys of heaven, and emptied Himself as a suffering servant. Out of the ivory palaces He came to this lowly earth, born in a manger, in a stable. And we find that He can empathize with everything that we're going through in our life. He's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And sometimes when we are going through certain things, we find ourselves sort of at our end. You know, we don't know which way to turn. We do know that we can never go wrong in turning to the Lord. Sometimes we don't understand why things are happening to us, but we have to be silent before God and in His providential hand over our lives. God is merciful, but God is also a loving Heavenly Father who chastises us for our own good. Sometimes it seems like we're going through a dark place for a long, long time. We've been in a dark place, and but we have to remember that Christ is over all things. He's head over the whole world. He has dominion over the whole world. And he rules the world for his own good. We don't understand why certain things happen in our lives, but we can go to him and ask him for and meditate upon these things. We can also see how many times he has shown us mercy and delivers us. And he has overcome natural causes to provide miraculous ways of escape for us, stop course of action that would have trampled over us. It is true that we are ordered by divine providence. Sometimes natural causes will unite themselves for our relief and benefit to us. Sometimes the rain and the winds will work in our favor. And we know that God's people are governed by a special providence. And he renders those who come against us ineffectual. And he brings them down. How many times have we seen that God has intervened for us against our enemies? Sometimes we can see that God works against natural causes. He turned the sundial back. He didn't just stop time, he turned it backwards. We see the overruling hand of providence and miracles throughout the Old and New Testaments. But one thing we must understand, that he orders all things for the good of God's people. Whether it is good or evil, okay, that he's ordering, there's still, even if he's ordering the evil, it's still for our good. And we also see that God rewards those who help his elect. He rewards those who help his elect. Rahab hid the spies and was exempted from the destruction of Jericho. Publius, the chief man of the island of Melita, courteously received and lodged Paul after his shipwreck. The Lord speedily repaid him for the kindness and healed his father, who lay sick at the time of the bloody flux and fever, Acts 28:7. In like manner, we find that evils done to God's people are also repaid by retribution to their enemies. Pharaoh and the Egyptians were cruel enemies to God's elect, and God repaid it by smiting all the firstborn of Egypt in 1:9. And we see many, many other examples of this, how God rewards those who help God's elect, and he shows retribution to those who are who come against God's elect. It's good to know that God protects us. These things are not accidental. We read in Amos 3:3, if two men travel along one road, is it likely they are agreed to go to the same place? Can two walk together except they be agreed? You see evil men doing evil things to the Lord's people. And then we see it in just a short space of time how God brings these people down. It's evidence to us that we are his people, for he's protecting us, showing us his providential care in our lives. We see Haman's plot against the Jews was ripe and all things were ready for execution. But then we find that his plot turned on him and he was hung on the same gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. So we have to realize that there's no accidents. And things are not contingent of only on natural causes. The sea divided itself just at the time of Israel's cry to heaven. Okay. And we also can also see the providence of God even in our birth and our upbringing. Think about your own situation, about not only the family you were born into, but the significance of how God has brought you through providential areas, in significance in the way you were brought up, and the way you were born into this life, and the way God has brought you out of situations, and the reasons why that God has allowed certain things in your life, because he wanted to protect you from the onslaughts of Satan. Not only the time of your birth, the place of your birth, and all the minute details of your family. You know, think about the country you were born in, how God has shown you mercy by being born in a certain country. Many people are born in savage countries that are worshiping idols, and they're heathens. Many people are born in impoverished countries where they don't hardly have enough food or water to drink. Think if you've been born in a pagan state of England where there were many hundred years were gross and vile idolaters. We could go on and on. Think if you were born in where Roman Catholicism was carrying out its great inquisitions against people. So God's providential hand is in our lives, even in not only in the minutest details of our birth, the place of our birth, the country of our birth, but also the designation of the family which you would spring up and rise up in. Who your mother is, who your father is, and who you associate with on a daily basis is all directly involved in the providential hand of God. Some people are born in with parents who carefully instill the good knowledge of God into their souls. Others are born into families where they are given wrong information, deceptively given information their whole lives that is contrary to God's word. This is all in the providential hand of God. We have to, the Bible says, to be content whatever state you're in. There are many families who are so profane, they breed up their children. They don't care about taking care of their children's souls. They teach them to be vile, and swear, and curse, and do all manner of evil against their Creator. This is how some children are brought up. We all have been given certain mercies of God that we often forget. God's providential hand is in our lives, not only in where we were born and who we were born to and what country we were born in, but also in the work of our own conversion. If you realize, go back in time when you first came to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, look at the circumstances around your conversion. You look at the circumstances around Paul's conversion, and then we compare it to our own conversion when we came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Many people can't go back to a specific time and say, well, that was the day that I came to, but many can. Think of the lady of Samaria, how God purposely went to that particular area. He said, I must needs go to Samaria. Think about the time that he went to that place where Zacchaeus climbed up in a sycamore tree that specific day, and he said, I must needs go to your house for tea. Think of Paul, who was in prison and was sent to be the instrument of the conversion of the jail keeper and his whole family at a particular time. God is providential over the timing and over all the affairs around our conversion. Now, again, we have to realize that God is also brings about certain situations in our life that seem to be evil toward us, but yet they end up to our good. There was a gentleman that in this book that Lavelle wrote, talks about how that so many people had tried to reach this man with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how he was very adamantly opposed to it, and he was going to go out and commit suicide this particular day. And this one gentleman felt very, very much pressed to go see this person and went to his house. Person said, why are you over at my house? Why are you here? He goes, I don't know why I'm here. But I came over here today because I felt I needed to just come over and see you. The guy said, well, I'll tell you why you're here. He says, I was just getting ready to go out and hang myself. God's providence is amazing. Not only in the areas that we talk about, he's also, his providence is over our employment. In other words, what we do every day with our life, the vocation that we're in. Just think of the number of different vocations he could have placed you in, but he placed you in the situation you are in because he chose to do so. Whether you're a lawyer, an attorney, a doctor, a lawnmower, mow lawns, or a property manager, or whatever you do, he's placed you in that employment providentially. He's placed you in it. You say, well, I don't like the employment I've been placed in. Well, it is God's appointment for you. Well, it's God's appointment. He's also placed us in certain family affairs, relationship to our relatives that we may not like, or taken us out of relationships with our relatives. He preserves the saints from evil. Sometimes he will cause events to happen that we would have been carried away into an evil inducement, but God has protected us from that evil. He providentially works sanctification in our hearts, even though corruption is always with us, God does, over time, cause us to be more conformed to the image of God. So we have a duty to meditate on the providence of God, because it will give us further assurance that we are His, increase our faith God has given us. And it will help our hearts become more molded with that of the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Realize that God is in control of the minutest details of our lives. We should be thankful, give praise to Him for protecting us and for chastising us when we need it. And we have to go through very, very tough times, realize that God's providential hand is over all things, including the dark times. It's also going to be a great benefit in our dying hour to go back and see God's providence all the way down through our lives when we get ready to die. So it has practical implication for us. If we realize that God performs all things, anything that happens to us is God's superintending power over our lives, then we realize that we're obliged to perform all duties and services for God. God performs all things for you, then seek God for all by prayer and never undertake any design without Him. Anytime we try to strike out on our own, think we're doing something on our own, God will be quick to show us that we are not in charge. We should depend upon God for all things. Many people say, well, how can I know the will of God? Well, the answer is that all things are God's will. All things are God's will for God's people. It says, all things work together for good to them that love God and that do are called according to His purpose. And don't ever use God's providence in a vile way. In other words, don't ever say, God made me do it. God made me sin. No, you sin when you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. And sometimes people get upset when God does not answer their prayers when they think they should be answered. Sometimes they get upset, say, you know, God is slack concerning His promises. No, He is not slack concerning His promises. That's what He's not willing that any should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance. God answers all of His elect's prayers in His own timing. And sometimes the answers that God gives are not in compliance with what we want. We must be willing to comply with God's answers in our lives. You know, Paul asked three times that he would be relieved of that whatever it was, but he was answered by saying, my grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes our prayers are answered. Hezekiah didn't like the fact that he was dying, and God added 15 years to his life. Whatever the answer is, we must be resigned to the will of God. And it's easier to say that than to actually do it, isn't it? We also get great benefit by recording our experiences of problems. Sometimes it's good to write down the good things that God has done in our lives. That's why many people have diaries. Because it adds to their faith. When their memory gets dim in older life, they have these memories of the past deliverances of God. We see that was recorded by Moses, recorded by David in the Psalms. And sometimes it's good for us to remember the good things that God has done for us down through our lives. Do we have a selection?
Page 43, Psalm 83C.
43.
Do not be silent, God, or unresponding. Do not remain at rest, O mighty one. For now your foes arouse and make a clamor. Your bitter enemies lift up the head. Against your people now they plot in secret. They need to work against your hidden ones. They say, let us go up and in their nation. The name of Israel shall be no more. Together they conspire in deadly earnest. Against you they have made a covenant. The Ishmaelites are there, the tents of Edom, the men of Moab with the Hagarines, sing Abel and Lech with men of Ammon. Behold, Philistia and them of Tyre, for Asher too has come and joins their forces. They are the power of the sons of Lot, treat them like Midian, like Jabin's army. Treat them like Sisera, Jackson's brook. At Endor they were all annihilated, and they became as dung upon the ground. Like Horeb make the chiefs their lord like Zeba. We thought they would possess the land of God. My God will make them be like whirling dust clouds. Make them like bits of chaff before the wind. Like fire that burns the wood, like flames of lightning. Pursue them with your storms and strike with fear. Fill up their faces with humiliation. And let them seek your name, Jehovah, then. Let them be terrified and shamed forever. And let them be dismayed and be destroyed. Let them know you alone, you are Jehovah. You are the one most high over all the earth.
Page 4052. I would see.
Make joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy everlasting, his truth endureth through all generations.
And Lord, we thank you for this message you have given us through your holy word, Jesus, we pray, amen.
Father, help us to realize that your providential hand is active in all of our lives. Whether it seems to be good or evil, it's always for your people's good. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.